Well, it's really an honor and it's a privilege to stand up here and preach. It's not something that I take for granted, and I know it's important, and I know that the seriousness of this matter right here. This is not worldly business. This is heavenly business, and this is not something that I can manufacture. This is not something that is about me. This is all about the Lord. So we want to thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. You find in your Bibles the book of 1 Timothy. When Lexi and I pulled in here this afternoon, I said, does this mean I get to park in Pastor's spot? You know, I'm preaching tonight. And she vetoed that. She vetoed that real quick. So, but you know, when I was preparing to preach, I was like, well, what am I going to wear? And so I went through my closet and I was finding the right suit and everything, and it didn't fit. So, and then I realized that I didn't have any of these pocket squares right here, like Pastor wears all the time. So, yeah, these are obviously very important. So, I went through and I was digging through my stuff and I was able to find it. You know, because I just want to look exactly like Pastor. I just want to. He's up here and everybody else is down here. I'm telling you, you know, we were back in the office. He told me to tell y'all that he was such a blessing. And I'm telling y'all what, he's a good looking guy right there. And he dresses sharp and he spends 36 hours a week studying for his sermons. I do believe he needs a raise tonight. We're going to hold a business meeting at the end of service and we're going to vote to give him a raise. Is that everything that you asked? Okay. All right. If you all would stand to your feet with me tonight for the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired Word of God. In the first chapter of the book of 1 Timothy, we're going to start in verse number 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
This charge I commit unto thee. This is our key verse. Son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before me, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. You can be seated. Our Father, we come to you tonight. We come to you a humble people, dear God. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you most importantly and above all for sending your precious Son to die on the cross and be a propitiation for our sins. Tonight, dear God, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross. I pray that you would cleanse me of sin. I pray that you would empty me of self. I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit tonight. I pray that you would direct my thoughts. I pray that you would give me clarity. I pray that I would speak nothing more and nothing less than exactly what you have laid on my heart and what you would wish to deliver to these people through me tonight. Dear God, we love you. We thank you. We'll give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. I want to start by giving a little bit of context of the verse of Timothy, a little bit of the book, 1 Timothy rather. I'm going to give you a little bit of background. This book was authored by God. This entire Bible that you hold in your hands is authored by God Almighty. The human penman of this book was Paul, the Apostle Paul. There is some speculation as to when this book was written. So I'll give you both. Either it was written after Paul's stay at Ephesus during his third missionary journey between the years 58 and 59 AD. But more likely what is believed is that Paul wrote this book from Macedonia after his first imprisonment in Rome around the year 63-64 AD. Mid-60s A.D. Now, this book was written from Paul to Timothy, through Paul, from God to Timothy, as a commandment. When God gives us a commandment, we need to obey.
Amen.
Do it immediately. Don't wait around. Okay, don't labor it. Okay? If God gives you a commandment, you follow through with it. The theme of this book is to give instruction for the affairs of the church and to keep God's man, his church, his doctrine, and his people pure.
Amen.
That is the theme of the book of 1 Timothy, and it's carried on also in the book of 2 Timothy as well. This book was written to Timothy. He was a young pastor here in his early to mid-30s, and he needed some encouragement because he was doing his best to honor God and lead his congregation at the same exact time. Now, no, not a lot of people in here are pastors, obviously. Brother Jeff, he's a preacher. Pastor here, and Brother Farley, these are preachers. These are men that understand at times it's not easy to honor God and lead your congregation and stay fully in the will of God. There's people in the church that's pulling one way and the other, and there's commitments that you have. And this can be a struggle at times, and especially for young Timothy here, this is the early church age. They didn't have a blueprint for this. They didn't have some people that had gone on before. He was brand new at this thing, and he didn't have anybody to look to give him an example for how this was supposed to be done. And his example for this, the reason why Paul wrote this book is because the Apostle Paul was giving him that direction. He was giving him that guidance that he needed. I do want to take you back to the first verse of the book, the first couple verses actually. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace. Mark those three words right there. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we see here these three words, grace, mercy, and peace. This is part of Paul's what is called the benediction of the book. He's given this greeting. And I've got this note that I've made here. These three words, grace, mercy, and peace. In the other epistles that Paul wrote to the churches, he started his benediction with these words, grace and peace. This is the greeting to the epistles, in the epistles to the churches. However, in the books of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and also in the book of Titus, this word mercy is added. Grace, mercy, and peace. Okay, now we obviously know this book of 1 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy, and the book of Titus as well were written to these young men of God, these preachers. And I have this in my notes. I got this out of the Matthew Henry commentary. Pastors need mercy more than others. And the reason for that is pastors are dealing with some heavenly things that we as the lay people in the church don't understand at times. These pastors that are out here, they're battling. The government is after them, okay? This world is after them. The devil is after them, okay? These communities, they're out here and they're after this church and they're after our pastors. They're after our preachers. And they're after these men of God out here. And these men of God need mercy just as much as we do and more. Take up for your pastor. Nowhere is it found in the Bible where it's okay to be in disagreement with your pastor as long as he's in agreement with the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay? Nowhere is that tolerable.
Amen.
All right? Verse 18, I want to read it again. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Now, this verse is obviously directed at Timothy. He's the pastor. And then Timothy is supposed to take this verse and direct it to his people. This warfare that we read right here, a good warfare, this is something that's been burdening on my heart. And with the Lord's help tonight, I'm going to preach this message that I've entitled, How Can We War a Good Warfare? The devil wishes nothing more than to destroy the lives, the families, and the marriages represented here tonight. And the devil wants to destroy also this church and our pastor and his family just as much as he wants to destroy those represented here tonight. So our first point that we're going to get to tonight, number one, is the purpose for our warfare. We're going to read verse 16. "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." In the first phrase of that verse, you see right there, this, the word cause right there. What does that word mean? What does it stand for? So this word cause right here in verse number 16, this is talking about the furtherance of the gospel. That is the reason that we are here tonight. That is the reason that the Lord died on the cross. Christ Jesus died on the cross. He paid the penalty for your sin and mine. Okay, this is the reason that we are here. It is to further the gospel. That is the reason that we have been placed on this earth. Okay, this is a community out here that is lost, and this community is dying. This country is dying. These nations around the world are dying, and they are going to hell every single day, and we are doing nothing about it. Okay? Our reason for being here on this earth is to further the gospel. This is what the devil wants to hinder. This is why you fight spiritual battles in your life. Because the devil knows, but hey, before you were saved, the devil wasn't after you. He already had you. You were already living for him when you weren't saved. Hey, you became saved and all of a sudden you find these trials coming in your life. You start experiencing these struggles. Sickness in the family. Maybe financial struggles. Your marriage is hurting. It's taking a toll on you. That's because the devil has begun to attack you and your life. In order to hinder the furtherance of the gospel, he must battle with the messenger. The gospel's already done. It's already gone out. The devil can't do anything to hinder that, but he can do a whole lot to hinder you and me. Okay? So, for a few moments tonight, I just want to challenge you to examine your heart. Have you been experiencing any spiritual battles lately? Have you been struggling lately? Has the devil been attacking you lately? If not, you need to do a little checkup. You need to check up on your spiritual life. Because you might be living for him. You might not have even got saved. You need to do a checkup. Romans chapter 10, verse 15 says, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel and bring glad tidings of good things." Preaching the gospel, hey, that's a good thing. That's something to be happy about. And when we're out here and we're doing this Highways and Hedges project, have a smile on your face. It's a joy to serve Jesus. That's the theme of the book of Philippians, by the way. Joy in serving Jesus. So we've got to fight with the devil. We've got to fight him. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." As Christians, in order to better fight this warfare that is talked about, this good warfare, we need to understand the purpose of why we're doing it. I don't like to do anything unless I know why I'm doing it. You know, I don't like to do something just for tickles and giggles. I don't like to do it. So we need to understand what the purpose of this warfare, what the cause of it is. And that's because the devil is attacking us. And if the devil is attacking us, he is attacking the furtherance of the gospel. This is the thing that I want to get across to you tonight. Verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 5 goes on to say, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith." That whom right there is talking about the devil. "Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." So this verse right here, what I gather from it is, it's a joy to know that I'm struggling, but you're struggling too. If the devil's attacking me, he's attacking you. If the devil's attacking Timothy Fritton, he's attacking John Alverson. If he's attacking Timothy Fritton, he's attacking Brother Joel and Brother Randy, and Brother Ethan and Brother Tyler and Brother Jared. He's attacking all of us in here. All of us that call ourselves Christians. And that's, he wants nothing more. He wants nothing more than to ruin your lives, folks. I'm telling you. Like I said before, if you're not battling with the devil and you're not struggling with him, chances are you've fallen away a little bit. And you've backslid a little bit. Those are the chances. James chapter 1 and verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." And then verse 3 goes on to say, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Count it joy. You're struggling? You're battling? Devil's getting you down? Hey, count it all joy. You want to know why? Because I'm battling, and you're battling, and they're battling, and we're all battling for the same reason. We need to all get on the same boat, get walking down the same path, get on this thing together. We need to, hey, we need to encourage each other. We need to lift each other up, okay? He's being tempted, and so am I. She's being tempted, and so are you. Hey, we need to lift each other up, all right? We have got to stay with it, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 and 17 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory." Hey, this is just for a moment, folks. We're only on this earth for a minute, okay? I've been up here now for about 15 minutes, and it's felt like forever. Hey, we're only on this earth for a moment, okay? It's like that. It's like that. It's like that right there. It's like that. You live 60, 70 years, it's like that when compared to eternity. And hey, by the way, this is as worse. This is as bad as it gets. Hey, we're going to heaven one day. Hey, we're going to see Jesus coming in the clouds one day. And all of a sudden, this thing's going to pick up. Hey, it's going to get a whole lot better from here. This is as bad as it gets. And I'm telling you what, if you can resist the devil now, oh, how good heaven is going to be. I'm telling you what, no devil, no sin, no world, no flesh, just Jesus. Oh, man, that's going to be good. I'm telling you what, examine your heart tonight. If you're not seeing any spiritual conflict in your life, you may wish to consider the possibility, like I've mentioned before, that you've never been saved, never been truly saved. This is a burden, okay? Like Pastor mentioned this morning, there is a great percentage of members in the church today that have never been saved. They know how to play church. They know how to dress up and put their suit on and comb their hair. And they know how to show up, but they've never had it in here. So, we understand the purpose of our warfare. The furtherance of the gospel, the devil's battling us. Our second point that we see tonight is the plan for our warfare. You know, we understand the purpose, so let's make a plan. Well, how are we going to go about it? Let's read verse 18 and 19. "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck." That phrase, "by the prophecies which went on before thee," and then in verse 19, "holding faith and a good conscience." This plan for our warfare, it's already been given to us. We've already got it. These prophecies that have went on before us, hey, it's right here. It's all right here. Okay, you get in your Bible, you study it a little bit, you'll start to find out there's a whole lot in here that talks about battling the devil. Okay, I wanna take us tonight, and I'm gonna flip over here to I believe the book of 2 Corinthians, if I have that right. No, we're gonna go to Ephesians, book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. The book of Ephesians, this chapter number 6. This is a pretty well-known passage of Scripture to a lot of us. If you've been in church for any length of time, we're going to start here in verse number 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Catch these verses right here. "And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Underline that above all right there in verse number 16. Verse number 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we see right here this passage in Ephesians chapter number 6. This is one of the great passages concerning spiritual warfare, concerning resisting the devil. And we see all of these, there's six, components of the armor of God. You've got, let's see, starting right here in verse number 14, truth. You've got righteousness. You've got the gospel of peace. You've got the shield of faith. That's four right there. You've got the helmet of salvation. And you've got the sword of the Spirit. I do want to mention this story, and I'm going to come back to it. But how many of y'all in here have ever played paintball before? A couple, a few of you. Okay. I love it. It's a good time. But I'm not going to go play paintball unless I put a little bit of protection on. Put a little bit of armor on. At least a face mask and a good thick thick jacket or something. Because I'm going to tell you what. Them suckers hurt. You ever been hit by a paintball? You know it hurts. There's six components right here of the armor of God. I want to mention, of these six, five of them appear to be defensive pieces of the armor of God. Five of them. That's five of six. Seems to me there's a whole lot more emphasis in this passage on the defense than on the offense. Okay? There's six components. Five of them are defensive. Okay? And then the sixth component, I jumped ahead, but I wanted to get to this right here. The sixth component, there's only one offensive weapon given to us in this passage right here. I'm getting a little bit happy up here. The one offensive component, you're holding it. It's right here. If you want to fight the devil, if you want to be effective in your Christian life, hey, if you want to live for the Lord, this is all you need right here. Hey, you've got truth, you've got righteousness, you've got all these other things, okay? But unless you got the Bible, you ain't got nothing, okay? This Bible right here, this is the weapon, okay? And by the way, I will mention this. If you're fighting the devil with the Bible, then you're not fighting the devil. The Word of the Lord is. Amen. You're not doing anything, okay? The Word of the Lord is working through you. So we've got these tools right here. We need to gather these tools in preparation for our spiritual warfare. You don't want to find yourself in the middle of your spiritual battle and have not prepared. Amen. And you haven't gathered these things. The truth, the righteousness, okay? The helmet of salvation, okay? The shield of faith. You don't want to be in the middle of battle and be looking around for your armor. You need to have it with you at all times. They won't do us any good if we don't have them with us in the middle of the battle. The phrase we see right here in verses 11, I want to jump back just a touch. Verse 11 and verse 13, the whole armor. This phrase right here is actually only used two times in your entire Bible. And it's right here in this passage, the whole armor of God. This word armor, in a spiritual application, obviously, a lot of times in the Old Testament, you'll have talking about armor. They're talking about physical armor. This word armor in a spiritual application is only used four times in the entire Bible. And two of them are right here in this passage. Like I've said, I've mentioned five of these six components are defensive tools of your spiritual warfare. Only one of them is an actual offensive weapon. To touch on that a little bit, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit." Hey, it's hard to divide the soul and the spirit. So we can't do it. Our minds can't fathom it. Our finite minds, the soul and spirit, they're like this. Okay, but this Bible, it can take it and split that in two. This Bible has the ultimate power over our lives and over this entire world. I believe this Bible is more than enough of a weapon to fight against the evils that we face, the struggles that we deal with, and the devil that is attacking us every day. So, we've got the plan. We know the purpose. We've got the preparation. And then number three, I want us to see the process of our warfare. I'm going to get back to the text in verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. This word war right here in verse 18, that's a verb. That's an action verb. You know what that means? We've got to take some action. Okay? Now, we understand that the Lord's going to fight our battles for us. But if we don't put any effort into it, He's not obligated to put any effort into it. Okay? I believe it's in Philippians chapter number 2, the verse that talks about working out your own salvation. Now, that verse, a lot of people will take that verse and misconstrue it and say that's a works-based salvation. That's wrong. That means you've been saved. Now it's time to get out there and do something about it. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verses 3 and 4 say, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. These things that we're dealing with today, this warfare that we found ourselves faced with, this is not of this world. Okay, if it was of this world, we would have a handle on it. We could do something about it if it was of this world. This warfare, this is something supernatural. This is from the devil himself. I'm telling you what, if you don't be cautious, you'll find yourself saying, "Well, I can do it. I can battle the devil. I don't need to pray. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to go to church. Yeah, I can go to church every once in a while, and you know, I can get refilled, and then I can go out for a couple more weeks, and I can fight the devil." That's not right. If you're anything like me tonight, you need to be in this place every time the doors are open. You need the help from that man right there. You need the help from this book right here. You need what God has laid on his heart to speak to you. Because if you don't have it, you're going to fail. I'm telling you what, you will fail. Turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3, 4, and 5. I'm going to hang out here for a few more moments tonight as we wrap up. Verse number 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Like I've mentioned, this warfare that we find ourselves in, it's not a fleshly warfare. This thing is bigger than us. Amen. I'm telling y'all what, until we can learn to get out of God's way and let Him fight our battles for us, we will continue to get beat down after beat down after beat down. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 47 says, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. This battle, like I have mentioned, it's not us. It's not about us. This is the devil waging war on the Lord, the only way that he knows how, through us, by attacking God's people. The devil will attack your life if you do not choose to be on God's side and to have His power on your life. Okay? Give your battles to God. That's the best thing that I can say. That's the best thing I can give to you. on this last point right here, the process, hey, give it to God. Get in His Word, pray, okay, come to church, and give it to God. And that is all you can do. Let me tell you what, if you try to battle with the devil on your own terms, you will lose. I'm telling you right now, you will lose. There is no doubt in my mind that Christians across America have taken this approach. They have decided to do battle with the devil on their own terms, of their own will, and they are losing. And our churches are falling out because of it. And our church attendance is gone. There's churches closing. There's churches that used to run thousands of people that are down under 100, and they're closing down because people of God have not chosen to stand up for what is right and for what we have in our Bible, this very clear process given to us that's laid out to fight these spiritual battles. If you've been saved, it's an encouragement to know that God will fight your battles for you. Need an amen right there.
Amen.
When God does fight and win your battles, hey, listen to this right here. We heard Brother Dean McNeese mention this, and this spoke to my heart. When God fights and He wins your battles, do not rob Him of His glory. God will share His earth with us, as Brother Dean mentioned. God will share His provision with us. He will give us His blessings. He'll share His heaven with us. But He will not share His glory. All right. In closing tonight, I want to give an illustration. Back to a paintball story like I mentioned a minute ago. I do enjoy playing paintball. And a few years ago, I was over at my buddy Jacob's house. And we were having paintball. He had invited some buddies and some other guys from church there. And there was a father-son duo there. Named Dale and Dell, D-A-L-E, and his son, D-E-L-L. Dale and Dell. Brother Dale was in the armed forces, I believe it was, and they were stationed in Virginia near us for a short time. And so we got together with them, and we were playing paintball, and we were having a good time. And, you know, we were getting stung, getting hit. We were running through mud puddles, and we were just having a blast. And it's advised when you play paintball, like I mentioned, to wear a mask and, you know, possibly some elbow pads or some knee pads, you know, just depending on how bad you want to be beat up. And Brother Dale, he was a little bit old-fashioned, and all he wore was a pair of goggles right here. That was all he wore. He had a t-shirt on, a pair of pants, and a pair of goggles to protect his eyes. Myself, I'm a little bit more sophisticated and a little bit, well, that's probably not the right word, but I'm just a little bit more timid, and I don't like pain. So I have a full mask on, and I had a nice thick jacket. I don't like to feel when I get hit. I like for the guy that shot me to have to say, "Hey, I hit you, you're out, go sit down." And we were playing, and somebody shot me right in my mask. And that paintball exploded right there, and it got all in my mouth, spitting it out. It was nasty. If I hadn't had that mask on, that paintball would have caught me right in the teeth. And it would have busted my lip, busted my teeth all up. Brother Dale had a similar situation happen to him. And he didn't have his mask on. That paintball caught him right here. He had a big old lip. He came to church the next day, bless his heart. The point I want to get across here, I had my armor on. And while I got some spray from that paintball when it hit me, I didn't feel it. It didn't hurt as bad. There was some effects from it, sure. But it didn't bother me. I was able to keep on playing. When Brother Dale got hit, and he didn't have his armor on, he was put out of commission. He had to go take a break. He had to put some ice on it and heal up a little bit. Amen. Christian, If you're here tonight and you don't have your armor on, and you're not ready for battle, when you get into battle and the devil hits you with something, and you've got a bruise, you've got a scar, you're going to be put out of commission. You're going to have to take a little break from this thing. And when you, as a Christian, take a break from what is going on here, that affects lives here, that affects our pastor, that affects the ministries of this church, but most importantly and above all, that affects the furtherance of the gospel. Amen. That affects the very reason why you're here. And hey, there's nothing more than what the devil would like than to put you out of commission for a while. The devil would like nothing more than to put pastor on the bench for a little while. He would like nothing more than to put Brother Caleb over on the sidelines for a couple of months. He'd like nothing more than to see us slide out of church because he was able to hit us. He was able to attack us. And it worked. Because God's people are not living like God intended for us to live. If the devil can silence the Christian, he can silence the cries of Calvary. As I've mentioned before, we are the messenger through which Calvary's cry goes out into the community. That is the devil's ultimate goal. He wants nothing more than to see every soul burn in hell for eternity. And if he can put you on the sidelines for a couple of months, and you can slide out of church for a couple of months, then you can miss an opportunity to witness so that somebody can gain access to heaven. Do you know you're saved today? Miss Mickey, you can come. Has the Lord saved you? Have you ever battled like this? Have you ever dealt with these battles? If you haven't, I'm going to challenge you to examine your heart tonight. And I say this with all the love that I have within me. If you're not saved today, there is no better time. There is no better place. And there is no better call on someone's life than to be saved and to be born into the family of God. The more that we mean to God, the more the devil wants to destroy us and our lives. He tried to do this very thing with Jesus Christ, God's only Son, as he tempted him in the wilderness. Do not give place to the devil, and do not give him the satisfaction of ruining your spiritual life. Let's war good warfare. Amen. If you would stand with your heads bowed.